Welcome to episode 146 of Inside the Cage. Nearly forgot my number again. It's been a while. Been a few weeks. Scott and Mark with you. Back at it. Had a few things going on the last few weeks, maybe holidays and just, I suppose, life in general, as we keep saying. You know, it's.
That's it, man. So I was away for a couple of weeks. You were away for a week. We had a wee break in May, didn't we? So.
Yeah, get out of the way before the summer madness of holidays and stuff like that. So yeah, definitely, it was good to get a break from everything. It's funny, like you think, oh no, how am I going to cope not watching MMA? And then you don't watch MMA for a couple of weeks, and you're like, well, I really needed that.
Like, it didn't do you any harm. I've said this before. I sometimes think the UFC every single week is a wee bit too much at times. But that's just because I thought some nights you just got that. Really, I've got to watch this, or I like to watch this. Like, what the fuck's the point? Like, you could even make a bit of card elsewhere by putting all things together. But
even though we're massive fans, it is nice to get. I mean, look at football. You and I are both massive football fans. If there's any sport other than MMA that you and I like more, it's 100% football. There's no many other sports we would like more than MMA. And you get 2 months of the season where there's no football. Okay, if there's a Euros on or a World Cup, you get that. But it's different from your club. You get a break from club football. You don't get a break from Dana White. Dana White is in your face. I mean, when the Contender Series is on, he's in your face twice a week with Contender Series and, you know, Fight Nights. If fucking Tough's on, you know, he's in your face three times a week. Well, looking for a fight.
I started watching Tough and I fucking see him every Wednesday night now. So, can I get fucking with him?
Aye, so there's a lot. So sometimes when you get a couple of weeks, maybe a forced or unforced, you know, you just kind of cut a week break. It refreshes you.
Re-energizes you. It's a bit like when a message disappears for a few days and you come back and it's not fucking brand new again. You're happy as Larry. She's back. Happy days.
I thought you were going to go down a different route there, so we'll just kind of watch what we're saying there.
No,
the wave gets away for a couple of days.
The heart goes fonder in absence or some shit. What is it?
Aye, I'm sure that's what you meant.
I think exactly what I meant. What else did I mean?
So obviously we missed a few weeks, so we've got a lot to catch up on, but we aren't going to spend. We could spend hours and hours and hours going over everything. Me and Mark have picked out a couple of things we want to mention. We'll start as far back as 274. Oliveira Gaethje, look at Blahovic Rakic, a couple of things on there worth talking about. And then we'll have a look forward to this weekend.
That's a couple of card.
Yeah. And then towards the end, going through the news and the fight rounds, the last 4 weeks has been an absolute nightmare, to be honest. So we're just going to have a week and a brief look ahead at what's coming the next 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. In terms of like main events, and just get excited about that and get back into the swing of MMA podcasting, as they say. Let's take a soft look. So let's get right to it. And we're going to go straight to UFC 274, Oliveira versus Gaethje from the Footprint Center in Phoenix, Arizona. And of course, the main talking point from this was Charlie Boy's weight miss. Now, at the time, there was loads of theories about faulty scales, and he weighed himself on scales like the night before, and he was on schedule, weighed himself before he went down, he was on weight, and then he managed to get there and was overweight and couldn't shift the half pound that he needed to shift in, what, 2 hours or something?
Something like that, I think it was, I don't know if I get the full 2 hours, I think it was about an hour he had or something like that extra to try and make it, aye.
I find it very strange. The whole thing. I just think he's not missed weight in so very long. Charlie Boy, we know he's got a history of it. Can't deny that.
Featherweight, but once he used to fight at featherweight and he missed it a few times at featherweight and stuff like that. Has he missed it recently at lightweight? I can't really remember.
I wouldn't say he's like huge at lightweight. Like, he's sometimes he looks very, very skinny, but I wouldn't say like lightweight should be a massive problem for him. The whole thing stinks for me. I don't know if it's just because I really like Charlie Boy, but I just, the whole thing stunk for me right from the start. It kind of sucked that this is how it was going to go down. It's frustrating, mate.
Yeah, it's very frustrating for me as well, man. I think this is the first time that a champion's been stripped for missing weight.
I think so. Now, listen, I don't have an issue with that, by the way.
I don't have an issue with that. Yeah, that's fine. If that's the rules, that's the rules. That's fine. I'm just meaning in regards to, I can't. Well, my point was basically that there's no way for me that Charles Oliveira missed weight. I thought it sounds fucking stupid to say, but that every single champion for how many years probably now has made weight. They do everything. They get to a chance they're champion because they've done everything absolutely spot on. They know how to do things. They know how to make the weight. They know how to do things. He's made the last what, 3 or 4 weight cuts perfectly. Hey, championship weight.
He's never missed weight at 155. Do you know what I mean?
Aye. Made the last 3 to a championship weight, or the last 2, sorry, championship weight with no issues.
Yeah.
It does stink about it for me. They're like, why the fuck we're still using scales that fucking somebody was using in 1930 to fucking measure fruit? I don't fucking know.
Analog scales. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, man. Why are we not using digital scales? Why are we not using something that's just fucking right every time? There's obviously, Charlie's obviously probably went and measured himself on his own scales, but the scale was probably the same as the ones. He's probably digital scales up in his room. That's probably what he's using, thinking, right, I'm fucking on the dot here. And you didn't use these fucking things for Roman times. It's just, it's fucking madness.
As me, it totally is.
We've got to get digital scales. We've got to get things better. Why not allow. Why, like, apparently, from what I heard, that basically that set of scales are basically left out, and every fucking Tom, Dick, and Harry's allowed to fucking race out of a shot at some point. So you could have it getting fucked up so many times, and eventually, probably if you use it constantly, these things will lose their accuracy as well, which probably doesn't help. So you probably should have 1-2 sets of scales or something, saying they should be calibrated to the exact same thing. You use one in the back, you go, right, mate, yeah, 0.2 over, right, you're going to have a shake, come back. Right, you're fucking spot on when you go to the front because you know out the back you're fine. It just, the whole thing's just shite, to be honest. I think because I like Oliveira as well that much that it really just fucking pissed me off as well.
I was thinking when you said you couldn't think of any champion who'd missed weight before, I thought there was. I thought D-Fig, but that was for the vacant belt. But because D-Fig fought Benavides the first time he was overweight and couldn't win the belt. Remember he won the fight but didn't win the belt?
Aye.
So they had basically fought again 6 months later. I knew there was something, but obviously he wasn't the champion at that point. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a tough one because like his performance was so good and he showed why he's champ and he showed why he's the guy everybody should be aiming for. Absolutely, without a doubt, he is without a doubt the best 155 fighter on the planet. And I don't know, people are saying like, oh, Islam's got a great chance, but I'm not so sure Islam can handle that, if I'm honest. That's maybe another discussion for another day, right? If that fight gets made, but I'm not sure anybody can handle Charlie Oliveira just now. I really don't, mate, and I'm genuinely serious about that. He nullified Poirier's boxing, he nullified Gaethje's wrestling and his boxing. Gaethje's a great wrestler, he wrestles with Usman, and he's a great boxer, as we know. Gaethje's got that fucking, he's called the highlight, do you know what I mean? He's got that power, and
he showed that with a knockdown in the fight. He did knock him off the door right in the fight, but.
Oliveira's got a chin, mate. He's got a chin. He'll sub you from anywhere. He can grapple with anybody. It's just, I don't see, looking down those UFC rankings, I do not see, for me personally, a massive threat. Makhachev, possibly, he's got that Russian style of, you know, wrestling, but Makhachev is nowhere near as good a wrestler as what Khabib was. Makhachev's, for me, more a striker, I would say.
Yeah, it was, I don't even know if he's more of a striker. I would say his striker's far better than Khabib's is, to be honest. That's probably the first thing you would say, but maybe his wrestling's not as good as Khabib was. I do agree with you. I think, even though Makhachev's the second coming of fucking Khabib, apparently, I think Oliveira is that good. He's got that much experience that even if Makhachev was to take him down 20 times in a fucking round, at some point, I can see fucking Charlie getting a wee fucking submission in there and fucking squeezing something that fucking Makhachev doesn't want squeezed.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big thing. I think having that such a dangerous jiu-jitsu game along with that incredibly good chin, that really good wrestling background in general, for anyone to be anywhere near him, it'll be fucking so difficult for MD to get anywhere near him. I think he's fucking sensational. I think he's brilliant. I know Khabib at one point said he'd only ever come back if there was something really worth coming back for. For me, if he goes through fucking Makhachev or Dariush, preferably, for me, that's the fight we've got to see next, Makhachev versus Dariush for the number one contenders fight. If he goes through either one of them, for me, there's not a lot left for Oliveira. There really isn't a lot left for Oliveira. So he's got to me for if he beats, especially if he beats Makhachev, with Khabib sitting fucking cage side, he should pick it up and fucking pointing right in his face and go, right, motherfucker, get fucking in here. Let's fucking do this. If you think you're the greatest 155er of all time, fucking prove it.
I think it might take a long, I think it might take longer than that. I think it might take another couple of years. Khabib is sitting comfortable. I think Charlie basically needs to get to a stage where he's fighting people who are like 6th, 7th, just because he has to fight to keep himself active. And then it'll be a case of even UFC, Dana might even be on the phone to Khabib going, right, mate, come on. He's literally beat everybody I've put in front of him. He's literally the guy. He's slowly becoming the, like, at this point, perhaps the GOAT, the lightweight GOAT. I mean, I don't think he's anywhere near that, Charlie boy. He is certainly very good, but I don't know, is it tempting enough for, I mean, it's tempting enough for me right now. I would love to see Khabib versus Oliveira, because I don't think it would be anywhere near as one-sided as what people think. I know Khabib's an animal, right, he's an animal, he's ragdolled everybody, but I just don't see him ragdolling Charlie Oliveira.
No, I don't see that either in any way, shape or form. I really don't. I think he's just getting better and better with age as well, which is fucking ridiculous. The experience he's now got and stuff like that, he's nearly over 40 fights, I think.
He's 42 fights, mate, and he's 32 years old. Do you know what I mean? He's younger than you and me, which is disgusting.
Yeah, I can't actually believe that. I'm surprised at that now that you've said that.
That's what I thought when I looked at him, mate. He's young. He's so young, like, compared to like what you would expect. You think a guy like that, he's younger than Gaethje, mate, which is just... It's crazy. He's younger than most of the guys he's fought. He's younger than Poirier as well, although Poirier should be a lot older than that. Chandler, he's a lot younger than Chandler, because Chandler's 36. So he's younger than most of the guys. The last four guys he's fought, he's younger than them all.
There's only a year or two.
I would have said he was younger than Gaethje, but yes, do you know what I mean? It's just one of these things. You think automatically Charles Oliveira. And Makhachev's only a couple of years younger than him, do you know what I mean? So
they're roughly about the same age.
What's that?
Darius is older than him.
That's what I'm saying. So they're all around about their peak age, mate. If this is peak Oliveira, right, well, I would say probably 30, 32, maybe 30 to 34 is peak age for a well, maybe not.
It depends
maybe
on the division you're involved in. I think lightweight, yeah. I'd probably between 30 and 34 would be your peak.
Maybe between 28 and 32 for lightweight, maybe even a wee bit less. But he's still at an age where he is the top dog and nobody can get near him, mate. You like, it's nuts to me, right? If you said to somebody, oh, his last four wins were against Gaethje, Poirier, Chandler and Ferguson, you'd think they were talking about somebody like McGregor or Khabib. People just don't give Oliveira the respect he absolutely deserves, mate. He'd smash these guys. Not one of them. I mean, he had a decision against Tony Ferguson, which was an absolute war. But the other three, he smashed the three of those guys. Like, I mean, he's definitely probably one of the best lightweights ever. I mean, he holds the record for most subs, doesn't he? He's probably not far away from most fights in the UFC as well. He's probably on that top 10 list, I would imagine.
Mate, he's got records coming out his fucking ears. Most fights he's in the UFC, most submissions won in the UFC, most submission wins in the UFC lightweight division, most submission wins in the UFC featherweight division, most post-fight fight bonuses, most performance of the night awards. Second most finishes in UFC lightweight history, mate. It's just 12 performance a night bonuses, mate. It's, mate, fifth most wins in UFC history. He's got things coming out his ears. He's got records coming out his ears. And
mate, you say fifth most wins, right? And that in itself is legit class. But do you know how many wins he is away from being the lead on that? Three wins. Three wins, and he overtakes Cerrone, Miller and Arlovski. That is if Jim Miller ever fucking stops fighting, and Arlovski. Like, a 32-year-old to be talked about as having as many wins as guys like Cerrone, Miller and Arlovski. I think Jim Miller's old enough to be Charlie Oliveira's dad. Do you know what I mean? That shows you how, like...
More wins than John Jones and GSP, and it's fucking mental, man.
Mate, it's nuts. You just look at the people he's hitting, and like, he just doesn't get the respect that he deserves. I know it's something about what you do in the octagon, and I get that, and also look, missing weight, no matter if it's a dodgy scale or not, they should have just made sure, whatever the fucking reason was, you make weight, right? So I get the amount of people who are sour on that, but nah, just...
Anyways,
we were going to talk about the actual fight, but it didn't last very long, to be fair.
Let's look forward. I think Dariush versus Makachev's a fight to make, and whoever dares ready for Charlie Boy at the end of the year for me. I think Charlie's just may as well go and take a wee break for a few months and let the two fight it out.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
I'd be interested to see who's next for Gaethje. I think that's another thing, because Gaethje was all, I think, balls deep in, fucking making sure he got that deal. But fuck knows where fucking Justin Gaethje goes now, man. But like Poirier in that respect, fucking it feels like it's over.
It's a bit like Chandler as well. Like,
something tells me that Michael Chandler will fight for a title again in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's. I love Michael Chandler, you know that. I love Michael Chandler when he was fighting in Bellator, mate. When he signed with UFC, I was actually proper excited. I was like, oh my god, Michael Chandler in the UFC, like, brilliant. I like Michael Chandler, but I don't know, mate. We'll see. He might fight for a title. Listen, if he has a couple of wins, see if he beats somebody, like, you know, see if he beats a couple of guys at the top of that division, you know, if he beats, say, he gets a chance against Makachev or against RDA or something like that, Dariush, if after they fight, he puts himself in the conversation, absolutely. So, you just don't know. I mean, his finish with Tony Ferguson was, like, nuts. It was like Machida's.
Oh, mate, it was fucking scary, mate. Literally sent fucking Tony Ferguson to his death, I think. Honestly, it was unbelievable. What a finish.
It was crazy.
I know we looked at Molly's. Obviously, we were in London for Molly's, and Molly's was fucking outstanding. It was out of this world, but she's got fucking some competition, by the way, because that was fucking unreal.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely one of the knockouts of the year, mate, without a doubt. Absolutely mental, to be honest. It's just the slow-mo, the picture they've taken, the slow-mo of Ferguson's face, like, as the, I mean, that's,
it was brilliant.
That's folded up in all sorts of fucking horribleness.
100%.
I mean, we've talked about the two fights on that card that really meant something. What about, excuse me, the difficult ones, Carla Esparza versus Rose Namajunas.
I was going to say, you said the two fights that meant something. I thought we missed a title fight. It's a massive fight, and it just never lived up to any sort of billing that it deserved, to be honest. It was a split decision. I still don't know who won. I think I could watch it four times and probably get four different decisions. But it was just, it was pathetic's a bit harsh, but it was shite to watch, mate. It was just so boring, and
there's only
one to do anything at times.
There was only one half of this fight that surprised me. Esparza didn't surprise me in the slightest, mate. She was always going to come in tentative. She was always going to come in because she was probably worried about Namajunas's power and her distance and her range. Namajunas was terrible, mate. Like, I don't care what people say. People can say whatever they want. You know, like, I know Rose has obviously got, she seems to have a lot of demons. There seems a lot of talk about, like, I wasn't there and I wasn't really in the zone and stuff like that. And that's happened before, where we've seen her struggle with that before. So maybe there's something there. Maybe it's just she just wasn't in the right frame of mind. But nah, it wasn't a good, mate. It was 25 minutes of hard to watch MMA, which is a shame because it's, you know, it's two of the best women in that, for probably the two best women in that division just now, you know? And title fights should be between the best, and it was, but unfortunately the title fight as itself wasn't one of the best, which is a shame.
No, 100%. I'll be interested to see what they do next. As I said, it was that poor. I don't think you'd want to remake it, but I feel like it should be remade to see if we can get something better, to get not a proper champion at it. That sounds harsh on Esparza, but just to get a proper result, a proper fight out of it at the end of the day. Let's be honest, at the moment, if you're looking at division, is Marina Rodriguez maybe the one that's sitting there waiting for the title shot, probably? She's probably the one going, I'll have Esparza next.
Well, she lost a split decision. This Esparza on July 2020, she's on the back of four wins against four extremely tough opponents, mate. Do you know what I mean? And fighting regularly as well. That's four times since last January she's fought. You know, she's active as anything. Rebass, Watson, Dern, Yan, you know, she's without a doubt that's the fight for me to make. The new, let Rose go away, give Rose a break. She's been holding that belt for a couple of, you know, for however long she was holding it, and, you know, just give her a bit of a chance to have a break. If Esparza's ready to go, let's get that fight made, mate, ASAP, and get that belt, see if Esparza can defend it. I don't think Rodriguez would take her head off. I think second time round it was a split decision the last time, and I think Rodriguez has come a long way since then, so I reckon Rodriguez would win, but still be a good fight to see, especially for the belt.
No, I agree with you. I would actually fancy Rodriguez that far out myself. I think I actually did pick her at the start of this year to be champion at the end of the year. I can't remember what my kind of reason behind it was, but if that was the fight that we're going to make, then that would fucking line up lovely in my wee predictions. I'd be fucking delighted.
I think Rodriguez, to me, it's the only fight there.
Rodriguez is a very, very good fighter. It'd be a tough fight against Esparza, but I think her length and her reach could be difficult for Esparza to get inside and look for the takedowns and stuff like that. So,
she's a lot tougher.
Yeah,
she's a lot tougher than Nama Yunus, so certainly would be a totally different fight, I think, to be honest.
I'll agree with that, mate.
Right, okay. We've had a quick look at 274. Let's look at Blažević Rakić from a couple of weeks ago. There's a couple of things on here we want to talk about. I suppose there was a couple of things early on. The young Japanese boy who looks like a bit of a prospect had a tough 15 minutes against Candelario.
Came through it, though.
I actually seen that, and I seen Andrei Petrosky. I mean, I'm sorry, right? I don't know what it is about Nick Maximo. They call him Nick Maximo. I don't know why they don't call him Maximov, but they call him Nick Maximo. I think they dropped the V when they're commenting on him. Anyway, there's a lot of hype, and he comes across a bit arrogant. Obviously, I know he comes out of the same. He's been training with the Diaz brothers and stuff like that, and all this stuff. And there's a bit of talk about him, but I loved watching him get choked the fuck out, man. It was great.
I wasn't a big fan of him the first time I seen him, and I was quite happy to see him get choked out as well, mate.
Michael Johnson, good to see him fighting. I love Michael Johnson, always a class fighter to watch. I actually think he was on the end of one of the most savage knockouts I've ever seen, if I remember rightly. I'm sure it was, let me see if I can figure this out, Josh Emmett, remember that overhand right? Josh Emmett knocked out Michael Johnson, absolutely utterly savage. Still one of the best things I've ever seen. What else did I see in this card? Jake Hadley. I mean, wow, way to back. I know, look at you covering your eyes and shaking your head. Way to back up the hype, Jakey boy, yeah. I mean,
I was so disappointed, Jake, man. It was fair play to Nascimento. Nascimento looked pretty shit hot, to be honest, but that was so disappointing for Jake, man. After coming off a such hype for Cage Warriors, being so good, talking the talk and all that, and it just worked. There's still a fighter in there, but it went fucking right tits up on that Saturday night anyway.
I don't think Nascimento is that bra, to be honest. I don't know if he's even on the same level as Jake, but Jake looked a bit average. And obviously, if you can't back up the hype, mate, you're going to get found out pretty quick. If you want to stand and start ruffling feathers, and, you know, there was a lot talked about... Dana White was talked into taking him because he ruffled off so many feathers backstage, and you're like, wow, really? He's not even fought yet. And he couldn't back it up, and that's a shame. But hey, listen, he's still a young lad. He's still got loads of time to go. 25 years old, mate. You know what I mean? He's still got like 10 years on him, so he's plenty of time.
He's a boy, mate. He's still got a lot of years to go, so no doubt we'll see him come back bigger and better anyway.
David Grant, that was beautiful. Nearly killed Louis Smoker, superb.
Mate, he fucking pummeled Louis Smoker for the 3 rounds as well. I know Smoker had moments here and there, but I thought David was fucking brilliant, to be honest.
One thing that came out of this card, right? I never thought I'd ever see a meme that reminds me of my old man, right? He's always told me the two things that are absolutely guaranteed in life are taxes and death, right? Something he's always told me, which is kind of morbid. Plus, I always disagree with him, say, because if you're unemployed or homeless, you don't pay taxes. So technically, there's only one thing guaranteed. Death, right? But I'm at that list. Three things guaranteed in life: taxis, death, and Chukagian by decision. Because, I mean, it's fucking ridiculous, mate. 18 wins, and what is it, something stupid like 14 decisions? It's actually ridiculous.
15, actually. It was a fucking close one as well. I thought Riabash was really, really good. I'm not saying I was surprised that she got the decision at the end, but that was fucking tight, man. It was a tight fight, but this is Caitlin Chukagian all over. She seems to come through these fights every time, and I think we've made jokes in the past about her having stuff on Dana White and stuff like that, and it's just one of these things with Caitlin. Like, she comes through these fights, she is where she is, and As I said, I watched it on mute as well. I think I've said this comment before. I need to watch it on mute because I can't listen to it. I just cannot listen to that. It fucking drives me insane. It was, as you say, it's Caitlin Shue game by decision again. So, as what it is, does your tits in. She called for a title fight and all that game. But I think she's fighting Fury. I think the fight against Fury has been made.
In France.
Is that for in France as well? So, aye, that'll be...
I can tell you what, one thing she's definitely not going to get. She's 100% not going to get a fucking split decision in Paris against a Frenchwoman. I can tell you that. Absolutely guarantee you. It might be a decision, but it'd have to be unanimous. There's no way she's getting a split decision there, mate. Not a chance. If that's close, she wouldn't get it.
I don't think there's any way she's winning the fight in the first place, to be honest. So,
we'll see. Okay, last thing on this card. Last couple of things. Ryan Spann, class, looking absolutely superb. Adding another dimension to his game. I thought his slick guillotine on Kudlaba was beautiful.
It was a cracker, mate. It was absolute beautiful, as you say, man. Ryan's always a decent, let's be honest, he's a potential. He's always been very, very good, but obviously hit and miss. Obviously lost his Walker fight, beat Sirkinov, lost Smith, beat Kutalaba again, but I'm impressed when I do see him, even when he has been beaten, and he just does something about, he's fucking massive as well for light heavyweight. He's absolutely humongous.
He's huge.
I like him. I really do like Ryan Spann. I really hope he can fucking go on and put a couple more wins together in that division, because it'd be good to see. It's a brilliant division at the moment as it is. So adding Ryan Spann in there, name in there, is absolutely superb, man.
Yeah. And of course, the headline event, Blahovic versus Rakic. I hate for stuff like this to happen. Because it wasn't even as if it was a leg kick that blew out the knee. It was nothing to do with that. It was just simply, obviously, Rakic has clearly had some unresolved issues in his knee. That just doesn't happen, by the way. That just doesn't just happen as bad as that. I mean, you could tweak your ACL and stuff like that, no problem. You'd need to seriously bend it the wrong way to completely snap the thing off. And he didn't do that. So obviously, he's had issues on that knee. I want to see them run it back, but I don't think it will happen, if I'm honest.
No, I don't think it will happen either, mate. It was weird going to the third, because I did 1-1 myself. I think Rakic won the fourth, Blahovic won the second, then going into the third, it was even at that point. It was looking as if I could have a decent fight all the way. You know, looking probably forward to good five rounds of MMA as such and good fighting. Though disappointing, as you say, with Rakic, his knee just popped out to that wee step back, and obviously his knee just went. So he'd obviously done something previously. I think it turned out it was an ACL tear on the end. I think that's what it was. It was his ACL, so he'd done his ACL in the end. So he's out for the rest of the year at least. Do you know what I mean? So,
well, if it's a tear, it might not. It depends. If it's like totally like ruptured and fucking obliterated into a million bits, then he's fucked. But if it's just a tear, it depends how bad the tear is, mate, to be honest.
I still can't. I put it this way, I can't see him being back before they want to make an all-light heavyweight title fight.
Nah, absolutely not. They'll probably want, if Prochazka beats for Glover next Saturday, Prochazka will be ready to go straight away, man. I reckon Prochazka is probably going to be quite active. He's young and ready to go. I think the reason they've waited is probably because Glover's old as fuck. So you might find by the end of the year Prochazka might be taking Blahovic's head off as well. So you never know.
Yeah, I think yes, 100%. That fight will get made if that is the case. It's fucking Prochazka versus Blahovic, I think, is a European MMA fan's fucking wet dream. Imagine that being made. Like, that's the kind of fight that you've got to go, right, where we going? Warsaw, Poznan, where are we? 60,000 seater stadium somewhere in Poland. Make the fight. Can't take it to the Czech Republic, but we could definitely probably take it to Poland, because you know the fucking MMA fan base.
Why can't you do it to the Czech Republic?
I can't imagine they've got a stadium big enough, have they?
Yeah. No, maybe not. Maybe
I don't know what the biggest stadium in the public is.
Oh, imagine the co-main on that, mate. Imagine you'll hear me. Listen, you're listening to me.
Listen to you.
Alexander Rakic versus Paul Craig. Or even better, Alexander Rakic versus Ankalaev.
Yes, okay. But aye. Problem is Rakic won't be ready for that fight, but
so fuck it, Paul Craig versus Ankalaev again then.
That's fine, I'm up for that. There you go, he's so good to me now. I'm happy. Fucking trust me, Paul Craig's situation's pissing me off, but that's a different fucking story for a different night.
We'll talk about that closer to London. Mark has some very interesting opinions on that.
Anyway. So I look, that is the show. Imagine making that in fucking Poland somewhere in one of these massive stadiums. I think it'd be fucking electric. It would be sold out in fucking seconds. Where is Big Jan from? Fucking bothersome.
Cheesian.
I don't even know the fuck that is.
I think it's actually right on the Czech border.
It's right on the Czech border. So what cities we've got in South Poland? That's what I want to know. Here we go. I'm just fucking... We're doing this live right now. We're having a quick look at a map. We're going to find out what cities are in South Poland. Krakow. So what stadiums are in Krakow?
Krakow, sorry.
I don't know why I said it.
Jesus Christ. So hold on. You and I are basically arranging this for the UFC right now.
Oh, I 100%. That's happening. Nah, 33,000 in Krakow.
I'll do.
It's probably not big enough, but is it?
He says he's based in Warsaw, my mate. Warsaw's just up the road.
Right. But it's up the road and it's fucking up the road. What is the difference between Krakow and Warsaw?
Well, a couple of hours. But you've got Katowice as well.
No, I know. Like, there's places there. There's enough stadiums in Poland these days. Obviously, they held the Euros a good few years back, didn't they? So they've done all their stadiums up and stuff like that. So all the stadiums in Poland will be absolutely fucking spot on. And I just hope the UFC allow that to happen. I don't want to see a fucking fight between Prochazka and versus Blavich in fucking America and Las Vegas somewhere. That is just fucking stupid.
So the worst thing they could do?
What?
Apex.
Well, they wouldn't do that for a box office event now, would they?
No, I don't think so, but I'm just saying, imagine they did.
Even take it to Germany or something. Just go, be in Europe. They have to do the pay-per-view in Europe, in mainland Europe somewhere for me. Go to Germany, Poland. Obviously, no Prague's, no probably get the stadiums. So probably either or, you can get plenty of locals over, plenty of the Czechs over, plenty of the Poles over into Germany and let them fucking cause chaos if we really need to go somewhere else that isn't Poland.
Yeah.
Because if let's be honest, KSW will just tap at the door and want to fight with the UFC boys.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? That'd be fucking chaos. But aye. Look, that fight's got to be made, especially Prochazka beating Teixeira. I feel like I've been harsh with Teixeira here, but I just can only see Prochazka taking Teixeira's head off next week. So,
yeah, I agree. I can't say much.
See, man. Buzzing for that myself, but we'll wait and see what happens. But I got in the fight, ended the way it did. So let's see what happens after that. It'll be interesting if Teixeira does beat Prochazka, and we'll find out what they're planning and doing for there. Whether or not they're getting Ankalaev involved to beat Smith or where they'll go. I can't see them making Blavich to share it again, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Well, you never know.
I'd be surprised,
but you never know. Alrighty. Right, that's just done a very quick, brief kind of look back at what kind of was the talking points of the last couple of weeks. So now we're going to look forward. Reset. This is us starting afresh from today, looking forward at what's coming up. And we're hit with UFC Fight Night. Oh, I don't know the names. Well, I don't have the names up. Wow, that's not like me. Fuck. UFC Fight Night, Volkov versus Rozenstruik. Kind of pointless fight, to be honest, but it's a fight, I suppose, for the two guys.
Yeah, I kind of don't see the point in it myself, but I'm not saying it's going to be a fun fight because I think Rozenstruik's just going to stand there and wait for Volkov to make a mistake and try and unload fucking heavy shots, and then Volkov's just going to kind of stand outside, use his range and just try and pick Rozenstruik off. So
this has got 5 minutes, 5 rounds, 25 minutes, 50-45 written all fucking over it. I know the poster says 33 combined KOs. Fine, I don't think Volkov carries the power anymore to beat some of these younger, modern heavyweights. And I don't think Rozenstruik's got the tank to unload enough times on Volkov to put Volkov down, because Volkov is hard to knock down. Well, saying that, Big Tom done it, but that's different. Tom's a legend. I don't know. I just think it's get. I just think it's get 25 minutes running all over it.
Yeah, I think it's get 25 minutes. Let's be honest, there's two outcomes here. There's Volkov after Volkov decision, or there's fucking Rozenstruik somehow gets a fucking shot. Gets a shot off and somehow connects with Volkov. I don't see Volkov getting that knockout or anything like that. It's got to be Rozenstruik for me who'll finish the fight if any other one's going to do it. But getting inside Volkov's range of 6'7", unless Rozenstruik's done something different and got a different kind of game, I just can't see anything different by decision for Volkov, to be honest. It's a pointless fight because I don't see what it does for anything, to be honest, within that division. They're fighting just for the sake of fucking fighting and for keeping busy and keeping active and getting the money in the bank. Let's be honest, there's at least 3-4 guys ahead of them in a queue to get anywhere near a title shot, do you know what I mean? So even if they go on a run, they're looking at another 2 or 3 fights after this to even get close.
Yeah. What else on this card gets you excited? Give me a fight. Throw me a fight. I mean, I know normally we just look through and read names out, but let's actually talk about an actual fight. What gets you going on this card?
Mate, I think Dan Ige versus Evloev is fucking tremendous as well. It's an obvious one, but I think it is a tremendous little fight, man. It's just...
Totally agree.
Evloev is fucking outstanding. It's a massive test for him. I think Ige is ranked, isn't he?
Yes.
So does this get Evloev into the rankings if he wins? Yes, I think it will. It will. So it's a massive fight for Evloev. We know how good this guy is, man. He just...
Evloev's ranked 13th, bud.
Did I miss that, would I assume? Oh, sorry, that was my bad. We'll get him into the top 10 then. So it's a massive fight for Evloev pushing forward and going forward in the division. I think obviously we're lacking some challengers for kind of Volkanovski after the Holloway fight. If he comes through Holloway again, then I don't really know what's next for Volkanovski. So that'll put him into that conversation as well, probably. So it's a massive fight. But no, it should be good. It should be good fun. Look forward to it.
It's a fight. I'm actually Fakhretdinov. I like this fight because he's obviously new. He's got an insane record. He's got a kudo background, which is like a Japanese martial arts full combat. But he's also fighting a guy in Mikalidis who is like, although of course he's been beaten a couple of times, also once and a weight class above, which isn't really like him, obviously. And then once against Alex Pereira. Obviously, we know how Alex Pereira has gone from strength to strength now, but he's always been quite tough. Mikalidis, he seems like a tough wee Greek guy that you just can't seem to get rid of. So I think I got a class fight written all over it, to be honest. Looking forward to that. I think that's brilliant. Molina versus Zhumagulov as well. Brilliant fight.
Is that the Mikalidis fight? Is that his first time doing it well, or what?
I think so. He's normally a middleweight.
I just thought it was a Pereira. He fought
at light heavy against
Bukowskis.
Fought at middleweight against Pereira.
And then he's been doing well, or
don't know about, I mean, he could probably get, I'd imagine it should be relatively easy for him to get down. What is he, 6 foot? And woof, that is a fair stretch, to be fair.
Usman's 6 foot.
I know, but Usman's built like a tank. Like, Usman's built for it. This guy might not be, you don't know. I don't know if he's ever fought at welter. No, middle. This will be interesting to see if he can make the weight. I may have just totally jumped the gun on this and said this would be a good fight when this Russian guy's going to take his fucking head off because he's far too light. As far as I know, he doesn't have. He's never fought at welter. He's never fought at welterweight, mate.
So, in the first place.
As I say, there is some really good stuff on the card overall, though, to be fair.
There is some decent stuff on it, mate, as you say, it should be good. Good to see wee KK back as well, since I'm not even going to try and say her name.
Karolina Kovalkiewicz.
Aye, her.
Love KK, man. Same as Felice Herrigan, I'm sure. I'm sure the two of them are like off the back of. I actually think this is a fight that Felice won the first time, split decision. These two lassies are probably on the verge of being released, possibly the last fight of their contract. They've went, do you know what? Can we fight again together? Let's put this to bed. I reckon both of them will bugger off into the sunset after this. You'll never see them again. I reckon Carolina Kowalkiewicz might actually retire if she gets beat. But yeah, it's on the main card, I think, purely for nostalgic, emotional reasons. I think this is two girls fighting out the last fight of the quarter. Personally, that's just how I see it, looking at the situation, mate, to be honest.
I'm a bit surprised, I've already said it's been a while since either of them really fought. So you've got to imagine this is just a case of, well, they've got one fight each in their contract, let's just get them fucking out and get them fighting and get shot, sounds hard, get rid of them, but it feels a wee bit of that and just kind of getting them out of the way. Obviously, Kowalkiewicz is a bit of a... She's been a bit of a name for a long time, you know what I mean? She's always been one of these fighters who's been up on the top of that division. And then obviously, that's her five in a row she's lost now. So, So it's a case of getting the fucking 2018 was the last time she won a fight. That seems fucking mental.
Yeah, it's nuts, mate. You think of how long ago it was and stuff like that, and like where they've come from, what they've done since and stuff. It's nuts, but it's definitely almost feels a bit like the end of an era. My cards are firmly stacked in Carolina Kowalkiewicz. It's funny, right? People ask you, what's the one fight that got you into MMA, right? And I always say John Jones versus Gus. That was the opener for me. But see, Joanna versus Kowalkiewicz. That was fucking ridiculous. It maybe wasn't the best ever, right? I mean, it's the fourth, according to Topology, it's the 14th greatest strawweight MMA fight of all time. And when I seen it at the time, mate, it was just game changer. It was too, like, especially in women's MMA, I think at the time that was a game changer. Absolute war. Like, absolute war. They were both undefeated, both Polish. Like, it was, in fact, it was for the belt. It was for the belt. Do you know what I mean? It was such a high stakes. And it was just ridiculously good level for MMA at the time. I think women's MMA has come a long time since. Hence, you know, her record since then is like, what, two wins and six losses. So maybe that shows you how far MMA has come in the current climate. Yeah. But
she's nobody we keep up. I think everybody's got better and she's kind of stood still a wee bit. I think that's come back to kind of haunt her now. I'll just have a wee look at the boy above. Fucking Carolina there in the old topology. Askar Mozharov.
Good. Well done, mate.
Ukrainian.
Yeah,
it
looks like an absolute...
The fact he's Ukrainian, but the fact that this man looks like he could take out the whole fucking Russian army on his own and probably win.
Yeah. He's a big, big boy, man.
He's a scary motherfucker.
Yeah, he kind of joins the Kiefer Crosby Scary Dudes Club, to be honest. He could be a fully fledged member of that club. There's a few fighters in MMA that are members of that club. Obviously, we named it after Kiefer because he was the first, he was the pioneer, like somebody who's just scary to look at. Listen, Kiefer, if you're ever listening, mate, I think you're probably a class guy, but you're just scary to look at. But yeah, he's got a decent record, a couple of losses, you know, recently, as recent as 2019, maybe shadow a wee bit, but. Yeah, it should be. I mean, listen, anybody who can bare knuckle box and win in 8 seconds. I need to actually find a bit of fact. You know what? I'm going to see if I can find a video of that right now, man.
That's
that is. Who was he? Who was the guy who's fighting?
His name was Victor Jones in the BYD Extreme Fight Series.
I can find the video while we're watching. This will be fun.
You look at his last four fights, right? I think he's fought for a full total of 4 minutes with four first round knockouts. Obviously, one was bare knuckle, where all three were MMA. So, oh mate, this guy, just seeing him fucking walk out could be my highlight of the fucking week, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. I can totally agree that. I don't think I'm going to find
some
this.
Some sort of fucking big, mad, massive Polish rock song playing in the background as this guy comes out fucking screaming his head off. And fucking Alonzo Menifield just looks at him and goes, "No, you're all right, pal, I'll tap right now."
What, have you moved on? Are we not talking about Mozharov again?
He's fighting Alonzo Menifield.
Oh, so he is. Sorry, I thought it was. Oh, I was getting confused because I was googling Victor Jones. I got confused for a minute there. Hold on. Is that it there?
Must be.
No, I'm trying to find it, mate. I'm trying.
Where do you find it? But aye, look, this is two fucking big guys who clearly love to knock the living shit out of other human being within the octagon or within the ring. So, if this leaves the first round, I will be shocked.
Mate, that is absolutely utterly savage. They say 8 seconds, mate. I'm pretty sure that clock says 2 minutes, 56 seconds. That took him 4 seconds. How many punches does he fling? Let's see. One. No, wait, that's after. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, down.
Right,
wow.
He's in my link.
Mate, he's massive. Wow, this guy could be my new favourite thing. Oh, spinning kick, man, to a guy who crouched. Oh, my God. This guy looks legit, by the way. He looks absolute. Oh, he's terrifying looking. Mate, we might need to rename our club. Kiefer Crosby might be getting bumped down, man. Jesus. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
With our grass and control.
Yeah, listen, this card's got some good fights on it, some new guys on it. I see there's a Brazilian with a 13-1 record. Can it be a fluke? Making his UFC debut, tough fight for him. Trezano's a good fighter.
His only loss was actually on the Contender Series to some guy I've never heard of. So who was 12-0 Mexican? Fuck's sake.
Well, he's due to fight in September. That boy's Eluber, I think. But yeah, looks amazing.
So aye. Against Trezano, that should be a decent fight. Trezano, I think, has been a wee bit up and down recently as well. He's got all the skills, but sometimes it just feels like he can't put it all together.
Yeah. Right, cool. Moving swiftly on. So, we said, because the news would be probably a little difficult to go through all in one go, because 4 weeks worth, we just have a quick, kind of brief look ahead. Calendar. So just looking at main events only, Mark, right? Because a lot of these cards probably won't be finalised, and a lot of these main events might even change. But if I just run through, let's say they'll take it 4 at a time, right? After this weekend, the next 4 main events, right, are Teixeira Prochazka, Cater versus Emmett, Sarukian versus Gamrot, and Adesanya versus Cannonier. We are getting massively spoiled for choice here.
Mate, the matchmaking over the next 8 weeks, but the next 4 weeks is just phenomenal, mate. It's unbelievable when you look at the top level and the title fights and the main events that we're getting, man. These cards is unbelievable, man. Teixeira Prochazka also touched on it slightly earlier on, and it's fucking epic, man. It's a great fight. Prochazka's a fucking superstar. If he wins that belt, he will just fucking go one way and one way only, and that's to fucking superstardom, because it'll be a fucking highlight knockout of some description if he wins the fight, probably. Look at Cater Emmett, man. That's I could arguably be a fucking number one contender fight, because there's that little happening in the featherweight division. And it's two guys who just love to not fuck each other or not fuck at the end of their fighting. This could go 25 minutes. Fucking 2,500 punches are fucking, they could literally pull a punch every fucking second. It could be absolutely amazing.
It could potentially, if it goes the full 25 minutes, right, it could potentially break records for most strikes thrown, landed, punishment. It could literally break all sorts of records. Aye. It could honestly break all sorts of records. This fight has so much potential written all over it, mate. It's actually quite scary how good that fight potential could be. But on the other side of that coin, you just never know. You know, it could be terrible, but I just can't see it. I just think that potentially could be fight of the year. And there's been a lot of good contenders
probably, so far. If you look at the quality and stuff like that, probably of the fighters and what it's going to be and how much reward it's going to be, 100%. If this is not a contender for fight of the year, I'll be fucking shocked. I really will be, man, because it is phenomenal. Then you go into the following week and you look at Sarukian Gamrot, and as much as that probably got to be a very, very different type of fight, it's two guys who are very, very high quality in the technical aspect of the game, and I think it could be absolutely superb from that aspect. It might not be the war that you get the week previous, so we can
no.
But it's got to be an absolutely tremendous fight.
I think it'll be a bit more technical. I'm in love with this fight, by the way, and I'm in love with the fact that these two guys, these two, well, I say young, Gamrot's 31, but these two relatively young UFC fighters, Gamrot's only a couple of years in, Sorokin, I think, is relatively kind of fresh. Fuck, he's been this in 2019, but, you know, like, these guys are up and comers. Sorokin's 25 years old, man. Like, fucking hell. It's a massive, massive fight for both these guys. This is potential superstardom on the way for one of these guys, mate. Like, it's ridiculous.
Look, fair play to the UFC for making this fight. If I'm making this fight a main event, is, to be honest, it's two guys. It's not as if there's one of them who's a talker or whatever. There's no hype over the fighters. I mean, there's no... I know there's hype of the fighters, but there's hype within the MMA world. There's not two guys who are probably going to stand out to the casual fan, I wouldn't have thought. But these two guys when the MMA aye, world there's no so highly thought about.
Yes. There's no marketability on it.
That's the word I was looking for.
That's what I would say. There's no markability on it for UFC to say, right, look, watch this fight. These guys are class. But like, as you say, your casual fans, who the fuck is Armin Sarukian and who the fuck is Mateusz Gamrot? You and I are excited about this because we know these fighters and we've watched these fighters. I'm really proud of the UFC for making this a main event because you could easily... I mean, look at the fight. Magny versus Rakhmonov, right? Magny's a name people know, and people are starting to hear about Rakhmonov because Rakhmonov's a bit like Chimaev. They could easily have shat the bed and made that the main event, and nobody would have, you know, would have batted an eyelid. I think the ball's on the UFC to put these two guys at the top of the tree and go, right, lads, here's your moment, here's your chance, especially for Sarukian. Okay, Gamrot's an ex-champ in KSW, two belt champ as far as I can remember. He's been at the top of a promotion. He's had the stardom wherever he's been. He's a massive name in Poland. Sorokin's probably still relatively new to it. Not saying he's not been a champion. He may have been a champion before, but nowhere near as big as KSW. And Sorokin, at 25 years old, is headlining a UFC Fight Night card in Las Vegas. That's nuts, mate. There's not many fighters that can say they can do it. And I think that's what makes it why I'm so proud of the UFC, because the UFC have went, you know what, fuck it, we're going to do it. These two young up-and-coming guys... Let's just put them on the card and see what happens, and I'm all fucking for it, mate.
I'm delighted to be with this fight, mate. It's a tremendous little fight, and it's just, as I said, the technical aspect of this fight is just sensational. Brilliant. Well done to UFC for making this fight, for making a main event more than anything else. Brilliant.
Yeah. Adesanya Cannonier really needs no... I mean, we don't really need to sit and talk about that. We could, but I mean, like, it's Adesanya, it's Cannonier. It's going to be class. Cannonier's finally getting that shot because apparently he had to prove himself against Brunson. He's now getting that shot. I mean, this card's pretty good. This has got the Strickland Pereira fight on it. It's got Munoz O'Malley on it. Volkanovski
Holloway, part three.
Yeah, Volkanovski Holloway. Hopefully Holloway can finally show the world that he was better than Volkanovski at the same time. But even the headliner for the prelims, mate, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm in the Duplessis camp, mate, every single time, but fighting Brad Tavares, that's a war.
Mate, Robbie Lawler, Brian Barberena, Jim Miller versus Bobby Green, Brad Riddell versus Jalen Turner.
There's literally not a bad fight on a card. The only fight I'm maybe not that fussed about is Rose Clark versus Stoly Arenko. Both have a style which is like grappling and might be a bit boring, but yeah, like legitimately
that. I just seen the fight that's been canceled. I never realised that. Did you hear that happened to Casey?
Yeah, I seen what happened to Casey.
For that, man, that's fucking.
To be fair, bad. Mate, she probably deserved the break, to be honest.
But what a way to break, huh?
It's probably why it snapped. I mean, look, what, since October 2019, she's fought, what, 8 times? That's crazy, mate. That's literally crazy.
Yeah, true. Still, but it's gotten for a massive fight against Jessica Eye, so that's gotten
it is, that, mate. That's it is, but she's 24 years old. If she doesn't look after herself now, in 3 years' time, she's going to be nowhere. So done the right thing, cancel the fight, get the operation. I've seen videos of her, she's bouncing about on it already. She's raring to go, man. She wants to get back in there, so that's a good sign. But she's just got to make sure she's right. I want to see a Scottish UFC champion. And if Casey is the one to do it, then take as long as she fucking needs, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, 100%, my man. I mean, look beyond that, if you look beyond that in July, man, it's just, it gets better and better and better, some of these main events, mate.
I mean, I'm struggling, right, because obviously Blades, Aspinall, London, you know, should be my favourite. Should be. It's London. It's British MMA. It's Tom Aspinall. But you know for a fact, I think you only need one guess as to what my favourite main event is out of all of that. And if you get it wrong, we're finished.
It's got to be Ortega Rodriguez, surely, to fuck.
Abso-fucking-lutely, man. I cannot actually...
That's not a hard question, surely. Fuck, I'm looking for a difficult answer here. I'm going, nah, that's no, too easy.
Oh, mate, it's just... it just fills me full of absolute joy. One, because I love Ortega.
It's and the only
two,
fight.
Because watching...
It's the only fight for the two of them as well.
I don't care. That's fine. That's great. It's just a great fight overall. Obviously, I'm going to be massively siding with Ortega because I'm very biased towards him. But if I take off the Ortega glasses and look at this as a fight, as an MMA fight, mate, if you're an MMA fan and you don't get excited about that fight, you're watching the wrong sport. Simple as that. It is legit ridiculous. Actually, looking at that card, that's actually disgusting. Don't think I want to watch anymore. There's a 23-0 Russian. You've got Askarov versus Perez. You've got Watterson versus Lemos. Jack Shore versus Ricky. Nah, I'm stopping, man. I can't handle that. Sorry. We'll just need to review that close at the time. I can't deal with that. That's far too good a card, mate.
You've missed it. I think RDA versus Fiziev as well, man. That is fucking... That's a class fucking fight.
Yeah, it's all good. Even Peña Nunez. I know the first one was a bit of a damp squib, right? But Peña Nunez too potentially could be good. If Peña's got the attitude where she wants it back, it's potentially like, you know, game changing for. It's just, mate, the main events coming up are ridiculous. They're not all listed on there. Obviously, we know what the main event for. What happened there?
You cut it. All I heard was, you know, the main event for...
Okay. I'll say it again then, right?
Go for it.
We know the main event for Paris is probably going to be Gan Tuivasa, to be fair.
Well, I'll be, let's be honest, I would be shocked if that's not the case. Obviously, there's not loads of French fighters in the UFC, fun enough. There's one fight this weekend. I'd imagine they're kind of maybe setting him up to make sure he's on the Paris card. So Cyril Gane will have to be your main headliner. You get my man Vittori coming for Italy as well. You maybe get some Italian fans over and stuff like that versus Robert Whittaker. Again, unconfirmed, but that seems to be the case. Man on Fury on that as well, man. Just going to Paris. I would love to fucking go, man. I would absolutely love to be in Paris for that fucking night. But...
It's a shame, mate, because it would be amazing to be there for the very first one. But sadly not. Sadly not to be, mate.
Unless one of these wins a lottery between now and then, maybe we've got a chance. But look, there's some great stuff coming up. Some massive fights. Some massive events in general with London and Paris. Some great fucking pay-per-view cards. Once I say pay-per-view cards, you just look down the list and go, that's great fight after great fight after great fight. Yes, you just gets...
We're going into a...
Get better and better every time.
Yeah, we're getting into a period of awesome fight and awesome fights and awesome fight cards, mate. I think taking that wee break the new when we did is probably the perfect timing. A soft kind of drop back into reality this weekend. Nothing massively exciting this weekend, but after this weekend, as you say, we've talked about Teixeira, Prochazka, Qatar, Emmett, Sarukin, Gamrot. There's loads and loads of stuff to get excited about over the next few months, mate. Absolutely.
There's a UFC event every week between now and the end of August. The next break is basically the last weekend in August is your next break. So it's going mental between now and UFC 278, and then after UFC 278, it's all about fucking Paris. It's all about the going to one of the great cities on earth for first time ever. So buzzing, man. Mm-hmm. Buzzing. It's looking forward to the next couple of months now.
Absolutely, mate. Definitely. Alrighty, that you?
That's me, my man. All done.
Just to confirm, Road to Singapore is a UFC thing. Sorry, your,
is there actual fights on it?
Road to UFC is a 2022 Ultimate Fighting Championship mixed martial arts event in which top Asian MMA prospects compete in a tournament to win UFC contracts. It features four divisions, flyweight, bantam, feather and light, each for which eight fighters compete in a win and advance tournament format. UFC doing tournaments, Mark. Did you hear that?
Oh.
Yeah. The tournament winner for each division is awarded the UFC contract. Each event in the series is to feature five bouts, including one non-tournament bout. There you go.
It sounds to me like they're trying to get into the one championship sphere of fighters.
Yeah. So there's like all the episode 1 and 2 are both on June 9th, and episode 3 and 4 are both on June 10th, and they are quarterfinals. So, I mean, I don't know any of the names. Rama Supandi from Singapore versus Choi Soon Guk. Q Lin versus Wallander Del Rosario. So there's a couple of guys with Wikipedia pages, but if I'm honest, I know nothing about Asian MMA. So
one championship's probably as deep as you get, isn't it?
Yeah. So that looks like an interesting prospect. I did see something there. What does it say? The opening qualifying round will be held across 2 days at the general, with 2 5-bout events on each day, a total of 10 bouts per day, ahead of the pay-per-view event on UFC June 11th. All right. So basically, they're taking advantage of being in Singapore for UFC 275 next weekend, and they've got these two events, and they've obviously booked the arena all week and using it. And then, interesting.
Cool. I want to see what happens over that. See when the decent comes from it.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Thank you for listening, guys. Appreciate you sticking with us if you have for the. Over the last few weeks, but we're back, and hopefully we're back for the next 2 months anyway, keep things rolling. Thanks for listening. Get us on our socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Inside Cage MMA. And if you listen on Spotify, remember and hit that rating button, it would make all the difference for us. So yeah, thank you, have a good week, and we will catch you next time.